And we're going to be reading from the passage where the disciples are on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes up and walks alongside them. And it's a passage that I love, and we're going to just see what God wants to say to us this morning through that. So let's just pray. Let's pray that God would open our hearts to the Lord, open his heart, our hearts to his word. And let's just pray now. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We thank you that all over the world, people are lifting up your name. Lord, in church to church, Lord, people are praising you. People are drawing near to you. And you are drawing near to us. And that's amazing. And we love you, Lord. And we just pray that you would open our hearts to your word today. We pray nothing would block what you want to say. And we thank you that your word is powerful. And we thank you that you are going to speak to us through your word today. Lord, and our hearts are open to hear. Lord, and we are going to be different as we go from here today because of what you said to us. And we thank you for your word. And we thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're going to read from Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to 35. And you can follow along with me. I'm reading from the NIV. It says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk together on the road? What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do you not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is now the third day since these things took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" Amen. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is a beautiful story. And Jesus comes in the story to two previously unknown disciples. And he walks along with them, and he spends probably 2 to 3 hours, maybe more, walking with them, giving them one of the greatest sermons that the world has ever heard, and unveiling the scriptures, the things concerning himself. But they didn't recognize him. It's like one of those stories, you know, or one of those movies where you know the character, but the characters in the book don't know who it is. I don't know how many people have seen The Lord of the Rings or read the book. Yeah, few. Well, the book's better because it just draws it out longer. But that bit where Gandalf, the beloved leader, has died, or they think that he's died, and the bit where you see him coming back, and the suspense is building, and Gimli the dwarf, and Legolas the elf, and Aragorn think it's the wicked wizard, and think it's somebody else, and you're just waiting for this moment when Gandalf reveals himself, because you know that they're going to love it so much, and they're going to be amazed at that moment when he reveals himself to them. But they didn't realize, and we get to know the story, and we know, and we're like, come on, just reveal yourself, Jesus. Show yourself to them, because we know what's coming. But they didn't know, and they had to walk through it. They were on a journey together, and they were talking and they were discussing together all that had happened in these days. This is a day where the women had seen the empty tomb and had seen the angels. And it was the days after Jesus was crucified, and they were talking about these things. And they were in grief, and they were in sorrow. And Jesus comes up and starts to walk along with him. Along with them. Just walks with them. And it says they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know why they didn't see or recognize him. Mark says it was because he was in a different form. You know, his resurrected form. Some people say, well, they were walking towards the west and it was the evening and the sun was probably in their eyes and they maybe couldn't see who it really was. I don't know. I think maybe partly, you know, they were so in their grief, their sorrow, their discussion. Have you ever been in a discussion with somebody and you're in a deep discussion and somebody else is approaching and the last thing you want is that person to interrupt your conversation? And I wonder whether something like that is going on. They're so in their conversation with one another and in their grief and in their sorrow. The last thing they want is a stranger coming up and walking alongside with them. But whatever it was, it says they were kept from recognizing him. They did not recognize Jesus was walking along with them. Is it possible for us to be so engrossed in our lives and maybe our problems and maybe our grief and maybe our fear and maybe our worry, maybe our disappointment, and not even realize that Jesus himself is walking alongside of us? It's totally possible, isn't it? It happens all the time. We don't realize that Jesus himself is walking alongside us. Jesus is together with us on a journey. Even when we don't recognize it, he's there. Step one of what God wants to say, I feel, this morning to us is, I'm with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you think is going on, I'm with you. I'm walking alongside you. You know, one of the most frequent things I feel like God says to me in the quiet of my heart when I listen to him is, I'm with you. I'm with you. Hear it over and over again. I'm with you. And it's almost more precious to me than the words, I love you. Because I love you, you can say from a distance. I love you. You can write it in a letter. You can write it in an email. I love you. You can say it on the phone, but I'm with you is something totally different. I'm with you shows that I love you. It's the actual presence of God with us. I mean, what more do we need than Jesus himself walking alongside us? He's with us. Step one, God is saying, I'm with you. And he asks these disciples, what are you discussing together as you walk along? What are you discussing? Jesus knew exactly what they were discussing. But he's drawing out from them their perception of what's going on. He wants to draw out from them, what do you think is going on right now? What's your perception of what's happened in these last days? And he wants to draw out from us as well. What do you perceive is going on in your life right now? What's your take on it? How do we perceive the events of our lives? Bigger picture. And he was drawing it out from us because there's a way bigger picture that he wants to reveal to us than what we can currently see. There's way more going on that he's working out. I was thinking the other week, we're having Remembrance Day, and I was thinking, how many soldiers died on the battlefield or died in the camps with maybe thinking all is lost without knowing the bigger picture of what was going on and that what they were a part of? There's a bigger picture going on, and Jesus is gently drawing them out, and their perception of what's going on is one of grief and disappointment. When he says to them, what are you discussing? It says they stopped, well, they stood still, their faces downcast. This isn't light, easy conversation as you walk along the road and you have a chat with one another. No, this is deep grief, deep sorrow. And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, said, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? Don't you know the things that have been happening there in these days? He's asking Jesus, don't you know what's going on there in these days? How ironic is that? That they're asking Jesus, who's lived through every moment of what's gone on there in these days, who's died in the moment. And they're asking him, don't you know what's going on? How ironic that the people that are asking, don't you know what's going on, are the ones who really don't know what's going on. They think they know, but they don't know. They don't see the full picture. They don't really know what's going on. And they're asking Jesus. And Jesus says, what things? I don't know if it was you teasing them a little bit. I think he's just continuing to draw them out. What things? You tell me what you think has gone on. Well, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Do you see their perception? It's one of confusion and doubt. How do we perceive what's going on in our lives? What are you discussing as you walk along the road together? What are you saying? What is your perception of what's going on in your life? right now. Jesus is present with us. He's walking alongside of us. And he wants to raise our sights to him to see what is really going on. What are we discussing? What are we saying as we walk along the road together? What's the kind of thought playing in our mind? I'll tell you one for me. The other week, I was thinking, this is what was going through my mind. I was even speaking it out to some people. I say, I feel a bit overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed. And there's a lot going on in life. You know, life's busy. And as you know, I work at the hospital. I work for the church. I have 5 children. That's busy enough. There's lots going on. I feel a bit overwhelmed. And you know what? The more you say that to yourself and to other people, the better you feel. No, you don't. You feel worse. You feel more. I'm overwhelmed. And I was just spending some time with the Lord, and I think I'd even written that down in my journal. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, Lord. And as I was spending some time with the Lord, this thought popped into my mind, which must have been God, because it definitely wasn't from me. And the thought was, I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. And I actually laughed out loud because it just hit me. I'm not overwhelmed. I might feel like I'm overwhelmed at times, but I'm actually not overwhelmed. In fact, I've never been overwhelmed. And God promises that I will never be overwhelmed because he's with me. And he gives me everything that I need, even in hard situations. I'm not saying that we don't go through really hard things. But we'll never be overwhelmed if we're with him. Because he promises everything we need for every situation if we draw on him. Somebody prayed for me earlier this year. They prayed over me those words, my grace is sufficient for you. And they said that line over and over. My grace is sufficient. You know, famous words that God said to Paul. And, you know, you've heard the words 1,000 times, but this time it just came right in. It was like God speaking to me. This is my word for you. And it's like you hold on. It becomes alive. It becomes living. No, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. See, my thinking wants to think, oh, it's too much, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it. No. My grace is sufficient for you. I'm with you. And do you know that word overwhelmed? Do you know what it means? I looked up the dictionary definition. And it means to bury or drown beneath a huge mass, or to defeat completely. And I thought, I'm not that. I'm not overwhelmed. God's with me. And you know, when you look up a word, it shows you the usage of the word over the last couple of hundred years. And in the 1800s, the word overwhelmed was high. It was used a lot. But in 2010, it's on a sharp increase. It's like being used a lot. But we're not overwhelmed with him. Nikki Gumbel, who's the leader of the Alpha program, said a great quote that I read the other day. He said, regret looks back. Fear looks around. Worry looks in. Faith looks up. Regret looks back. Fear looks around. Worry looks in. Faith looks up. And Jesus is present with these disciples, and he's present with us. And come on, raising your sights to see something more than what you perceive. He's raising our sights to him. And he comes alongside them, and he walks with them, and he talks with them. He draws out from them, and then he reveals to them truth. They've given to him their version of what they think is going on. And he replies, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? How foolish you are. This has a lot of emotion in it. How foolish you are. You should have known. You should have known what was happening. I told you what was going to happen. I mean, how much more plain can you be? In Matthew 17, Jesus says, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. I mean, how much more plain can I be to you? I told you what would happen. All of Scripture tells you that the Christ would have to suffer. Scripture tells you. The tomb is empty. The tomb shouts out. The women said they've seen angels who said he's alive. And still you didn't believe. How foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Starting with Moses and all the prophets, explained to them the things that were written in the scripture concerning himself. He unpacked it. He revealed to them truth. They didn't perceive it. Maybe they wanted a different story than the one that actually played out. They hadn't expected this to happen. They maybe wanted a better plot. He opens to them the scriptures. Time with the risen Jesus causes us to see things differently. Not just words on a page, but it comes alive. And he's saying, I'm at work. I am working out my plan. And as they got closer to the village that they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us. And the day's getting to a close, and maybe it was out of politeness and care. You know, there could be danger on the road at night, but I think there's something more going on. Their hearts were stirring. Something was going on inside them as Jesus was talking to them. And they urged him strongly, stay with us. Something was going on. Jesus is walking with us. Jesus is drawing out from us, drawing out how we perceive things. He's revealing truth to us. And something is stirring in us. And whenever you feel the stirring of God in your heart, don't let him pass by. Don't dismiss it. Invite him in. Draw alongside with him. Don't let it go. When you feel the heart being stirred by the things of God, take time to draw alongside him. Don't let him just go on. There's times to not let him pass by, but to come close to him. And they urged him, and Jesus went in and stayed with them. And I love this bit. Now he's revealed truth to them, but now he reveals himself to them. I love this bit. It's great, isn't it? Isn't it great? This is the bit we've been waiting for. He takes the bread. He gives thanks. He breaks it and begins to give it to them. And suddenly, they recognized him. Disappeared. Did they get the bread? He began to give it to them. And then he disappeared. Did he take the bread with him? Did the bread fall to the ground? Did they get the bread? But in that moment, as they saw him do what they'd seen him do before, Jesus did exactly the same when he was feeding the 5,000. He took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And as they saw him do what they'd seen him do before, they recognize him. And he's gone. He disappears from their sight. And I wonder if just before he disappeared, he didn't just smile at them. And maybe even wink at them, or the Jewish equivalent of whatever that is. He doesn't say that, but I just wonder if as he revealed himself, there was a smile on his face. And they were absolutely ecstatic. And somebody said, a writer said, with the revelation that Jesus lives, his visible presence is no longer necessary. They were so ecstatic. Changed everything. It changed their whole perception of what they thought was going on. Now they knew that Jesus is alive. All that they had thought was going on has changed. What do you perceive in your life right now? What do you perceive in the world right now? Because God is looking for a people who understand what's going on. He's drawn near to us. He's drawn out from us. He's taking us from our perception of what's happening to what's really going on. He's revealed himself to us. That he himself is with us all along. And everything changes. Suddenly their eyes were open. Jesus had been there all along. And they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Burning. He was there all along. He is the answer all along. He's alive all along. He's with us all along. He's raising our sights to him, off our problems, our perception, and onto him. And he wants a people who know him and will go for him. You see, when we're caught in our perception of what we think is going on, it's much more difficult for him to use us. He's saying, come on, I'm raising your sight to me. I want you to see the big picture. Gateway Church, I want you to see the big picture of what I'm doing. I haven't left you. You're not alone. You're not in despair. You're not overwhelmed. I'm with you. I want you to see the big picture of what's going on. I want a people who know me, who have their eyes on me, who get caught up in me. I want people who've got a burning inside them. Jesus is alive, and it changes everything. There's work to be done, but we must see him. We must have our downcast faces lifted up to him. We must know he's alive. He's graciously raising our sights. And I love that he came to really two completely unknown disciples. They weren't even mentioned before. Only one of them gets his name mentioned. Because he said something, Cleopas. But he comes to two completely unknown people. And he's so gracious in that, that he loves to come alongside completely unknown people like you and me. And he loves to reveal himself to us. He's gracious. He's loving. This is not for professionals. This is for each one of us, that Jesus draws alongside of us, lifts us out of our perception, lifts our eyes to him, onto himself, that we might be a people who know what's going on and who live for him. Can we pray together? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, how gracious you are that you come to us. Lord, you know exactly what we're going through, and you draw out from us what we think is going on. You're gentle. You're gracious. You're straight with us. You love us. You take the time to lift our sights. You take time to reveal truth to us. You take time to reveal yourself to us. Thank you, Lord. I pray whatever we're going through today, whatever situation, we even mentioned some of that in the worship time, like sometimes we don't see what you're doing, but you're there all along. Or whatever we're going through, thank you today, you're saying, I'm with you. I'm there with you. I'm doing something. I'm working in you, working through you. I want to open your eyes to who I am and what I'm doing. So open our eyes afresh this morning, each one of us, Lord. And when we feel that burning inside us, Lord, let us not just let it pass by, but let us draw aside with you and meet with you. Lord, we love your presence, Lord, and you want a people who know what's going on. Because just in a few short pages after this, you're sending disciples out into the world to take this news to the world, that it might spread and spread and spread and fill the whole earth. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing. So take our eyes off ourselves and onto you and all that you're doing. We love you. Thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you're here with us. Comfort every heart today and open our eyes. In the name of Jesus, amen.